And welcome in to the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. And we are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. We got a big show planned for you today. We got the best and worst things in sports coming up later this hour at 6:45. Paul Kuharsky will be with us in the second half of the program. So PK will be here. We got a lot of things on the Titans to get into with PK. Legarius Sneed is back, which we will discuss here in just a second. We'll get PK's thoughts on his back and forth with Brian Callahan and Jeffrey Simmons earlier this week, which was pretty entertaining. And, of course, your Titans questions as well. Ian Safar, good morning. How we doing?
Good morning, Robbie. Doing great. Thanks let me hang out a little bit here, kill some time till PK gets here, give the people what they want. But yeah, it was good. Got some rain at the house yesterday,
yep,
which I needed. Flowers were struggling, so that was good to see. This morning, you could feel a little bit of the the chill in the air. I will say there was a little bit of a shift, so if you're going out this morning, I wouldn't say it's cold, but you could feel a little bit.
I think it was like 68 at my house when I walked out the door this morning.
Yeah, you could tell.
I was like, oh.
Came a little, you know, rain brought a little cold front came through.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
I'm already looking ahead to like next Tuesday and Wednesday. It's going to be like 80. That's the high. It's like, wow.
80's nice.
This thing's shifting a little bit out there.
Okay.
I don't want to go too crazy. Like, you know, once we start to dip into the 50s, I'm like, all right, that's enough. Let's stop it.
Yep,
stop it.
That's good. That's good enough. Bring it back up to the 70s at least.
Bring that back up. But yeah, I mean, it's for somebody who does a lot of things outdoors, nice to have it not 117.
No doubt. Yeah, but look, that sounds like yesterday was a thrilling day of practice.
Sounds like it.
For the Titans, another thrilling day. Got some good injury news for once, though.
Yes, Legarius Sneed back on the field. We talked a lot about Legarius Sneed this week of, you know, Brian Callahan got up there a couple days ago and was asked about him and was like, yeah, you know, hopeful. I'm not going to put anything definitive on it, but hopeful to get him back off PUP soon. And that happened yesterday. Legarius Sneed off of the team's physically unable to perform list, which means that he passed his physical, and we'll see how quickly he can get out there and do team stuff with the Titans. He was a limited participant yesterday, which is not a surprise. It's your first day back on the field.
Just individual stuff.
Throw him back into the fire in a team setting, but did some individual stuff, a limited participant yesterday, and we'll see what all that kind of takes place between now and week one and how ready he is to go and to play for the Tennessee Titans. But he was asked about it yesterday. Hey, man, how much juice you got? What's this version of Legarius Sneed going to look like? Here's what Legarius Sneed had to say.
You'll see. You'll see. When it's time for them lights to come on, you'll see a whole different Legarius Sneed.
When it's time for the lights to come on, you're going to see a whole different Legarius Sneed. Now,
guess he's ready.
Ian, I'll be honest with you. First off, let me say this. I didn't know if we'd ever see him back on the practice field again for the Tennessee Titans. And we've talked about that. So, good for them. Like, it's good.
Step one.
It's good to get him back out there. Hopefully, at some point, he can get out there, you know, in a team situation. And he again talked yesterday. You know, Kuharsky asked him about, you know, you said a couple months ago you were as healthy as you've been. Why have you not been on the field to this point? And he basically said it was a Callahan decision and a Titans decision. So you can take that for however you want to take it. I don't know what all that actually means, and we'll get into that with Kuharsky a little bit later in the show. It's good to see him back on the field. Now, having said that, you know, there's been a whole lot of talk from Sneed, you know, about how he's as healthy as he's ever been. And yesterday he said, hey, just wait till those lights come on. I hope he's right. We've talked about how important he is and how much the Titans need him in the secondary.
But definitely.
I am still approaching this with a very skeptical mindset in terms of what he's actually going to provide out there, given just the process that this whole thing has been.
It's definitely going to be a little bit of a process here. I mean, you know, ready week one seems a bit of a stretch at this point, but you never know. Maybe he can get in some limited snaps on defense. I don't know if that's something, you know, on third down, if that's something that he could possibly do. certain packages. I don't know how that will work, but I mean, even last year when he did play, it wasn't great to
start. Yeah, that's the thing.
So that's the thing we have to think about also. Like, okay, he was out there last year, but he didn't really impress as much as we had hoped. And then it only took 5 weeks and he was already done for the season. So I would probably agree, even if he does get on the field, we should probably wait a few weeks and see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. And again, like, look, there's been so much negativity and setback and whatever you want to call it with the L'Jarius Sneed experience to this point. And we're going to get into his legal situation here in just a few minutes because Kuharski's got an update on that. So we will talk about that. But there's been so much that's gone wrong about L'Jarius Sneed and the Titans so far. So it is nice to celebrate a positive, like he is back on the field. And again, yep. I didn't know that we'd ever see that. So it's good to celebrate that he's back on the field. And now the question, which I've said all along, is the most important question. All right, he's back on the field.
What
As
can he
gets
give you?
More acclimated, what's he giving you? Is he the all-pro cornerback that he was in Kansas City? Is he a pretty good cornerback, maybe not quite all-pro? Or is he just like some average guy out there now? Because the Titans, with where their secondary is, and particularly with where their corner group is, they need him to be, if not all-pro, they need him to be a really, really good starter
yeah.
out there.
If this defense is going to be, you know, up to snuff, he's going to have to play a big role, you know, or someone is going to have to step up. Because, I don't know, without him, you know, they don't really have a true number one. Brownlee is on his way, but he's too young. He's not a true one.
Yep.
And Baker, nice story, not a true one. McCreary, not a true one, you know, more of the slot guy.
Yep.
So you need somebody to play the best wide receiver. Otherwise, and Snead, that's why you brought him in. That was the selling point. He could shut down half the field. And that has not come to fruition so far with the Titans. We'll see if it does. I think, you know, if he can just be available and be out there, I think that will help. Just
I agree.
Based on pure reputation,
yeah.
He will have some reputation for offenses. And they will, you know, I don't want to say avoid him, but I wouldn't be surprised if some quarterbacks were a little bit reluctant here and there. If he was at least on the field, at least gives you some direction to force the ball the other way.
Look, it's way better to have him than to not, okay?
Even if he's not great, even if he can be out there,
yeah.
You know?
Even if he's not all pro, like, it's way better to have him than not. I just, with him and what we know has just been a lingering knee issue, and again, you know, the quad came up with him yesterday, and he was basically like, you know, you don't need to be worried about the quad anymore. Which is fine, other than, you know, he also hopped on this station immediately after he was traded here and told us not to worry about the knee.
Yes, he did.
And yet here they are still worried about the knee. So, you know, the quad should be healed. Like, I have no reason to believe the quad should be a problem for him moving forward. We know the knee is going to be a problem for
Titans
him.
Titans fans, I'm here to tell you that you don't have anything to worry about from the L'Jarius Sneed knee.
There you go. He said it.
And it's kind of amazing to look back on. Oh, boy. But we know the knee is going to be an issue. So, can he put together, like, three games in a row? Like, that's where I'm at with Sneed heading into all this. It's like, all right, can you get out there for week one? All right, cool, you're out there for week one. Like, can you stay healthy and available through the first month? Like, I'm going through little small boxes to be checked with L'Jarius Sneed. And I think if you're a Titans fan, and frankly, if you're like the Titans
baby steps
front office, that's probably the best way to approach it. Like, all right, let's see if we can get him out there for week one, and let's see how long we can keep him healthy. Because, again, it's way better to have him out there than to not. So, look, I did not expect that yesterday.
Like, no,
I did not expect.
I don't think many people were.
The Titans to announce that L'Jarius Sneed was coming off PUP.
It did
yesterday.
Feel like it kind of came out of nowhere.
So, a good. It was a welcome development. And. You know, we've talked about it the whole time of, you know, they keep talking about, well, yeah, L'Jarius Sneed's our starter. Well, it turns out maybe they've known that this was the plan the whole time. We'll see how it goes. But I am very, very interested to see at what level he's playing out there because it's going to determine so much about how good or not good this defense is. And look, even if he's really good, I still have concerns because of my fear of their just inability to get to the quarterback.
That will make, yeah, that makes a difference.
I don't care how good he is. If they can't breathe on the quarterback, at some point that's going to be a problem out there. But again, it's a boost and a potential shot in the arm for a defense that I think really needed it.
Yeah, I mean, if he can be a defensive one-on-one guy and you can leave him on an island here and there, that can do a lot for a defensive scheme and a defensive coordinator and what you can do with the rest of the secondary.
Yeah.
You know, and what it can do for the pass rush. Bring an extra person. If you know that you can leave Snee one-on-one with the other team's best guy, that can definitely help the pass rush. I don't know. I would say the pass rush probably helps the secondary more, but, you know, it can definitely make a difference,
sure,
especially if he can be that number one shutdown guy and play some man-to-man here and there. But, well, let's just hope he's got a little bit of juice left, like you said.
Let's hope
when
so.
Those lights come on, Friday night lights in this case, I guess this last preseason game or Sunday at noon lights come on.
That's the thing. Like, everybody keeps texting in. It's like, well, he talked about the lights come on.
Yeah, there's a bunch of day games.
They got
right
a lot
here.
Of, they got day games. A lot of first window games.
Yeah. Right, yeah, sometimes they turn the lights on
first
still,
one,
right?
That first one's in Denver, and it's, you know, it's 3:15
afternoon
out
there.
I mean, it's still, the sun will be out, so it's not like it's going to be dark out there.
But they'll have the lights on.
Maybe the lights could be on out there.
There you go.
Turn those lights on up there at Mile High.
Jerry Sneed needs all the lights, so hopefully, guy at Nissan Stadium, just be ready.
Yeah, just turn those things on.
It doesn't matter. Just warm them up.
I don't care if it's 91 degrees in the middle of summer. In week two, just turn those things on.
Crank them.
A lot of your thoughts to get to on L'Jarius Sneed. We will do that coming up next. Plus, Kuharsky has an update on his legal situation. We'll get into all that as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Are you concerned at all about the legal matter that's kind of ongoing down there in Texas?
No, sir. No concerns. You know, I'm here right now with the team, and that's the only thing I'm worried about.
As L'Jarius Sneed yesterday, who I noticed, a man of few words. But
short and to the point.
Short and to the point, which I kind of respect. Short and to the point from L'Jarius Sneed. There is an update from Paul Kuharsky of PaulKuharsky.com, who, again, we will have on the program in the second half of the program, on L'Jarius Sneed and his legal situation. And we will get into more detail about this with PK a little bit later. But, you know, it was initially a felony charge for aggravated assault that L'Jarius Sneed was dealing with. For aggravated assault with a deadly weapon that he was initially dealing with in this case that we've discussed. And there's, you know, the criminal case and then the civil suit that were connected to it. And now the criminal case, according to Kuharsky, has been sent to the grand jury for a September the 25th hearing, but it is for a reduced Class A misdemeanor charge of failure to report. And apparently in Texas, Kuharsky says, in Texas, it's a crime to fail to report a felony if you witnessed it under circumstances where a reasonable person would believe serious bodily injury or death may have resulted. So that is now what L'Jarius Sneed is dealing with from a criminal standpoint, and that is going to be taken to the grand jury on September 25th. He said, you know, of course, he's kind of open to this piece here. L'Jarius Sneed said he didn't do it, and officials now agree. But he's not entirely out of trouble yet. So the original charge has been reduced here to a Class A misdemeanor charge of failure to report.
Probably good news for him.
I would say so.
Yep.
Good news for him on that front. And, you know, he talked yesterday about severing the relationship. And Kuharsky again puts this in here with Williams, who is involved in this, who police say were with him when shots were fired out of the car into an auto dealership, and Williams, in this case, still faces a felony assault with a deadly weapon charge, and he's got the same grand jury date as L'Jarius Sneed. Said, quote, "I do not associate with that dude anymore," was L'Jarius Sneed's quote to Paul Kuharsky in this story. So again, we'll get into this in a little bit more detail with Kuharsky later in the show, but it sounds like a positive development for L'Jarius Sneed on the legal front.
I would say so. I mean, probably lessens his chance of being suspended, obviously, by the league, right? So maybe he probably won't get suspended at all, given it's a misdemeanor. I think those are somewhat common in the NFL, unfortunately. But so I guess that's good news for everybody. Hopefully that means he was not very liable in the whole situation, which might also be good news that he, you know, obviously shouldn't be hanging around with that dude anymore, as he said.
Said it just like
that. Just like that. Yeah.
I do not associate with that dude.
So anymore. Probably good news, not associating with that dude anymore. And, yeah, I guess that's good news for everybody.
Ed on the text line says, let's pretend and say Snead is 100% and plays at a high level. Even then, how much better does he make them? Does it mean more wins? I mean, it's a good question. Does it mean more wins?
Not necessarily.
I don't know that it necessarily means that. I mean, you've got to tell me, like, you know, how bad is the offense? How bad is the pass rush, right? Like, there are things that, you know, even really, really good cornerback play may not be able to overcome. But, yeah, I mean, it helps. Like, if he's at a high level, it helps a lot. Like, then if he's at a high level, then I think you feel pretty good about your starting secondary, right? Like, you feel good about Snead. And, again, you brought it up with Brownlee and McCreary. I think they're good players.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're great players, but I think they're good players. But if they're kind of slotted where they need to be in terms of L'Jarius Snead, you know, being your shutdown guy out there, and then you having those other two as your starters, I think that's good. Like, I feel decent about their starting safeties with Woods and Hooker, and we'll see how involved Winston gets at that point too. So, like, if he's at a high level, then that changes how I view their secondary. So maybe it does lead to a couple more wins. Like, I don't think it's going to be anything crazy. Like, it's not like he's going to have the same impact as a quarterback would.
No, but I mean, in this scenario, where was it Ed that asked the question? You know, if he's full L'Jarius Snead, like 100% the whole season, that could mean good things for the defense in general, as far as, I don't know if it's going to necessarily win you more games, but it will definitely could help bring your points per game down, I would say.
Well, yeah. And
if you do that, you know, that always helps points.
Yeah.
Just like, stop giving up so many points.
Right now, like,
force some three and outs, maybe a turnover. Maybe he's never been a huge pick guy, I don't think, but help create some turnovers. He could definitely. Maybe it's a win or two.
It could be. And look, you know, we talked about this the other day. If he's not out there, then, again, Brownlee is, I think, good. I don't know that he's great. I think he's good. McCreary is a solid guy. But really, beyond that, they're in trouble at cornerback. So we've talked about if he's not out there and you've got the combination of not being able to get to the quarterback and not really being able to cover all that well, that's a horrendous, horrific combination for a defense. Like, that's how you just get absolutely
if you can't do either, then you're in big-time trouble.
If he's out there and you feel pretty good about your ability to cover, even with a pass rush that could be very limited.
Good thing no one runs the ball on this team.
That's good. It is a good thing. That's the other thing. They better hope that that's actually true. Like, they better hope
since
they
can't stop the run.
Because, let me tell
or
you,
cover,
if you can't stop the run, rush. Cover, or rush the passer, I don't know that you're going to be doing very well as a defense. Those are three pretty important things. I'd argue the three most important things. That's what playing defense is. You either got to stop the run, rush the passer, or cover the pass. I feel like Jeremy Pruitt right now.
Two out of three
if
ain't bad.
If you can't do any of those three things, you are screwed. I'm comfortable saying that if you're the Titans this year. So, yeah, hopefully he helps. Sand in Portland says, I'll be pleased if he's better than Trey Avery. Well, God, I hope he's better than Trey Avery.
Trey Avery. Come on, Santa. We got to have high expectations
Trey Avery is he's a coveted player.
He's a cult hero. Yeah, I get it.
He's a coveted player around here. T-Town Brown on YouTube says, high-level Snead and Jarvis Brownlee Jr. is a nice duo. Brownlee's a guy I wouldn't want to have to consistently pick on. I think you could send more and leave those guys on an island. And maybe so. Like, maybe if you've got Snead, you know, at close
to the same kind of style.
Level. Yeah, and Brownlee
he's
and
handsy,
Snead
though.
Both, they get a little handsy. And Snead was talking about that yesterday. Like, you know, it's been basically almost a calendar year since he's played football. So the physicality part of it, you know, he's been a very physical corner with the way that he's played. We know that Brownlee tries to do that too.
Too many penalties.
And look, it's going to happen, right? Like, you know, L'Jarius Sneed and Brownlee both, if they're playing that way, there are going to be some calls against them. Now, you hope that they also offset that by maybe creating some turnovers, maybe jamming some receivers up at the line of scrimmage and really throwing the offense off of their timing. So you're hoping, like, in the aggregate, their style of play helps you way more than it hurts you. So we'll see. We'll see how that part of it goes. But looks like L'Jarius Sneed, from a legal standpoint, I think, is going to be available. And, again, we'll get into that more with more detail with Kuharsky. And now it's about where he plays, how does he play, how much can he stay out there on the field. And, again, when he does, how much is that actually going to help the defense? I mean, look, the point that he brings up, T-Town Brown on YouTube, about maybe sending more guys, maybe.
That's possible.
I mean, you're probably going to – there will be plenty of situations this year where they've got to, unless somebody emerges at edge rusher to get after the quarterback, that right now nobody expects to do that, right? Like, I mean, unless you turn around and you're like, man, this Draymond Jones – is an absolute freak of nature out there.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Arden Key had the summer of his life.
Or Sweat somehow makes a huge jump.
Or Jeffrey Simmons is just an absolute monster up the middle, and no matter what anybody tries to do to him, they can't stop him. Like, that, they need something like that, like one of those situations to happen for them on the defensive side of the football. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We will get to more of your thoughts on L'Jarius Sneed a little bit later in the program. Coming up next, there was a really good story from our buddy Ryan McGee that got done on Diego Pavia, which has me wondering something about him and about Vanderbilt football heading into the season. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on Louisville at First Horizon Park with the first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app. And at thegamenashville.com, Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley alongside Ian Safar here with you. We will have the best and worst things in sports going up here in just a few minutes at 6:45. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. We will get back into the Titans coming up here at 7 o'clock. There's a story that our buddy Ryan McGee did at ESPN.com on Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt, and it's really good. Like, it's, you know, it's a story told in a way really that only Ryan McGee can do it.
He for sure
might be my favorite writer that they've got at ESPN.com. But it's about Diego Pavia, the underdog story that got him to Vanderbilt, and now that he's there and that he's made his impact, can Vanderbilt keep it going? Can he keep it going in a year where maybe people are not going to be snuck up on by Vanderbilt anymore? And I'll just read kind of like the last couple of graphs here from it that I think do a really good job of summing this up. Quote, Nashville is a city that has been constructed atop the idea of having a good time. Residents and visitors alike have never had a problem finding that good time everywhere from Tootsies to the Titans. Now, thanks to the quarterback that no one saw coming, they are discovering a good time at a place that has been hiding in plain sight since it hosted the state of Tennessee's first college football game in 1890. Quote from Diego Pavia, building stuff is fun, man. It isn't easy, but nothing worth it ever is easy. So when that work pays off, let's enjoy it, Vandy. We earned it because we built it. And Ian, we know Diego Pavia in recent weeks has been everywhere, right? Like, he's been on the Paul Feinbaum
everywhere.
Show.
Yeah.
He's been on Bussin' with the Boys. He's doing interviews with ESPN.com. Like, he's been all over the place. And he's talked about, you know, competing for a national championship and all those things. You know, it came out of nowhere last year. Like, I remember watching him in their season opener against Virginia Tech. And I was like, who is this kid? Mm-hmm. Like, who in the world is this?
It's hard to know with these transfers from smaller schools.
Yeah.
You just don't know. You just never watch.
And we had talked about him a little bit before that game, but
I was unfamiliar with his style.
No, yeah. Had no clue. I just had no clue. And then you watch him play in a game setting, and you're like, I mean, this dude is just an absolute bulldog out there. Like, it's crazy to watch him play the game. So, like, that part of it, I don't expect to change this year, right? Like, his play style is what it is. It's incredibly entertaining to watch. I think they found a great fit in that offense last year. And, again, you know, we've talked about the idea of people, you know, quote-unquote, watching film and slowing them down this year. We'll see. A lot of it is about making the right read. I do wonder, though, with him at the helm, knowing what they did last year and the expectation from their fan base this year, which is pretty high, by the way. Like, you know, Vanderbilt fans are very excited about this year, and they should be, and they've got him back in the fold, and you got Eli Stowers on offense. Like, they've got a chance
couple players
to have a pretty good team. Like, yeah. We've talked about their schedule. Their schedule is rough. Like, it is a daunting schedule, and, you know, their win total, I think the over-under is set 4.5. Like, so, you know, obviously, if you hear that, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, and you're talking about 4 or 5 wins, you would be incredibly disappointed by that. I guess my question, Ian, is, like, I do think you can make the argument that for a certain length of time last year, people looked at Vanderbilt and they said, yeah, it's Vanderbilt, man. Like, whether it was consciously or subconsciously, did they sneak up on some people? I've got a hard time believing that they're going to sneak up on people this year.
No, yeah.
Number one, based on the success that they had a year ago.
Yep, taking down Bama.
And then number two, based on him, right?
Like, talking a lot.
He's talked a lot.
Yeah.
And he's getting a lot of attention, and I think it's great for Vanderbilt that he's getting a lot of attention. But I do wonder.
Now, that brings some eyes on you.
How does that affect them this year?
Yeah.
Like, how does he handle that? How do they handle that? And how does that affect their bottom line heading into the year?
No, I mean, it's a good point. They're not going to be sneaking up on teams, you know, whether it's Tennessee or Georgia or whoever this year. I mean, like you said, between the win and how much hype that got, all the videos of them taking the goalposts down West End and down Broadway and chucking it into the river, and then combine that with the whole Pavia lawsuit, and then you combine that with the Pavia, you know, talk this offseason. It's been fun. It's probably been good for the team in general as far as what getting your name out there. Yep. And publicity and possibly NIL and getting some people to pony up some cash, all that kind of stuff. But it will bring a bullseye now, and there's going to be some teams that do not want to be the next Alabama of some sort. And maybe at this point Vanderbilt's past that, and a win against the top team wouldn't be as shocking, perhaps, and as, you know, jarring as that one was. But it's going to be difficult. It's going to be a tough season. I mean, considering they're going to have to play well, and his style of play, like you said, he takes some hits.
He does.
And so he's going to have to play a lot, and he's going to take some hits. And if the offense is going to roll like it did last year, it's going to come down a lot to him.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. And look, you know, I don't know that I have a lot of interest in the Charleston Southern game. I mean, I'm looking at the line right now. Vanderbilt is a 36.5 point favorite against Charleston Southern.
Coming probably up okay on that
30,
one.
You're probably going to be fine against Charleston Southern. But I will say, like, they got Charleston Southern, and then back-to-back Virginia Tech and South Carolina. And, like, it's just – especially that Virginia Tech game. Because I know they beat them last year at home. They're having to go on the road this year to Virginia Tech and then on the road to South Carolina right back-to-back. South Carolina, I think, has got a chance to be pretty darn good this year. Lenora Sellers is a really good player.
Yeah, and should be a fun QB duel there.
Yeah, I think they've got a chance to be really good. But, like, if they're going to get back into, you know, bowl contention, and look, if you're trying to build on what you did last year and improve from a record standpoint, like, you got to beat Virginia Tech. And that's going to be a really interesting, like, look, there's not,
that
I don't know how many
swing
people
game for the schedule.
I don't know how many people heading into September the 6th are going to be talking about Vanderbilt and Virginia Tech that day. But to me, that's
Jake
a
Lyman.
Huge game. Yeah, Jake Lyman would be all over it. That's a huge game in college football that day, because to me it says so much about where things are going this year with Vanderbilt. And I know they've got, you know, Georgia State coming in here again after that. After
I mean,
those
the
two.
Non-conference is, you know, Charleston Southern, Georgia State, Utah State.
And you dropped one to Georgia State last year, which is still amazing that they lost to Georgia State and beat Alabama in the same season. Like, you can't drop one of those type of games again. But, you know, Virginia Tech, you know, I don't think Virginia Tech is great by any stretch of the imagination. I think Vanderbilt could absolutely win that game. But I also think Vanderbilt absolutely needs to win that game, because you're still talking about this year Alabama on the road, Texas on the road, Tennessee on the road. Like, they've got some South Carolina on the road that we've already talked about. They got some really tough games on the road this year. Now, they've got some winnable games, I think. Kentucky is a winnable game. I think Missouri. Auburn is a winnable game. Missouri could be a winnable game. So it's not like it's just a schedule that's chock full of automatic losses. But you got to take it. Like, you can't be dropping. If you want to have the season with Diego Pavia that they're hoping to have,
swing games, you got
to
win.
You can't be losing to Virginia Tech in week two. I'm sorry. You just can't.
Yeah, not if you want to take the program to the next level like they have been talking about all offseason. You know, they've been talking a lot. They want to take the next step. That Virginia Tech game could be a big game. Power four conference team, you know?
Yeah.
So, not SEC. How can you match up?
Well, and I also, here's the other part of this. If they continue to have success here, and let's say they beat Virginia Tech, and they either play South Carolina really well, or maybe they go on the road and beat South Carolina, who knows? You know, does, in the landscape of college football, how much does the kind of the legend of Diego Pavia grow out there? Both in good and bad, because look, there are some teams, and I know Tennessee fans probably occupy most of this, but there are even some teams beyond Tennessee that really don't like Diego Pavia. I can tell you, Auburn fans do not like Diego Pavia, from based on what I've seen.
Is there something in particular?
Well, he just beats them all the time. Like, okay. He beat them with New Mexico State.
Gotcha.
And he beat them last year with Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
He likes to talk.
So I think if that continues this year, and particularly if he's playing really well, like, how much does his popularity continue to grow? And how much does maybe the strong feelings on either side of it, either you love him or you hate him, how much are we talking about that as the season goes on?
Yeah, well, as a neutral fan, observer, you know, it's fun. You know, finally.
I think it's great.
Get some spiciness with Vandy, who's been so blah for so long, it feels like, you know. And it is funny how he's like a complete opposite of Clark Lee.
Yeah.
Pavia loves to talk. He is out there. He is yelling. Clark Lee, the most calm guy, even keel coach out there in the public that there might be in all of the SEC.
Well,
and so it's just funny, the dynamic there between the two.
It's pretty – I think you nailed it. And I think you nailed it on the – you know, Vanderbilt has needed something like this for a while. I mean, that line that I read from Ryan McGee, I think, sums it up. They're discovering a good time and a place – that has been hiding in plain sight since it hosted the state of Tennessee's first college football game in 1890.
Yeah.
That sums a lot of it up.
I mean,
right there.
If you think about Vandy and, you know, being in the SEC and being in Nashville, you would think there would be some advantages there.
Yeah, for sure.
Than other schools. Like, you're really the only school in a, I don't want to say legit city, but it's up there.
Yeah, I mean,
The rest of them, no offense, are just college towns.
Yeah, like, there's no doubt.
And so you would think, I know it's trickier than that, given the whole academic stuff and private school and all that situation. You know, we get all that. But you would think, given where they are in the NIL era in this city, you would think it's, you know, an opportunity to really take a step.
Ben on the text line says, if Vandy somehow wins 7 games, next year a new quarterback probably wins 3 or 4. We'll see. I mean, that's certainly going to be a question moving forward for them. Is let's say they have another successful season this year. How sustainable is it when he's gone? Like, can you find that next quarterback to carry the mantle?
Yeah. What kind of style do you go? Do you change style systems completely? Do you try and roll back with it? You know, bring somebody in who's similar, or do you just go completely different?
Right. Somebody else asking if Pavia is an NFL quarterback. I mean, my immediate answer to that, Ian, would be no.
Like, I
don't think so.
No.
Now, I would imagine you tell him that, and he'll borderline slap you in front of you. So, like, look, with a guy like that and that type of motor, I would never just outright say no. But I mean, let's be honest, from a physical tools standpoint and from a profile, like a physical profile, there aren't going to be NFL teams that are looking at him and be like, "Yeah, bring
you
me
look
that
like
guy.
A quarterback."
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I don't know. Height issues, you know, arm strength issues perhaps.
Yeah.
Accuracy, you know, he's not a pocket guy.
Right.
So, awesome college quarterback, seems to fit the college game perfectly.
Yeah.
But we'll see about, I don't know, it seems like a stretch for the next step.
We got the best and worst things in sports coming up next. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles. Yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle. It's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week. Time for the best and worst things in sports. We will take your best things in sports, your worst things in sports, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Is our phone number. Ian Safar, kick us off with your best and worst things
okay.
in the world of sports.
I have a little audio here I'd like to play as my best thing in sports that I saw this week.
Tonight on SportsCenter, the preseason Monday Nighter certainly did not disappoint in D.C. While an old D.C. star powered up the Phillies against the Mariners twice. In Pittsburgh, Paul Skenes actually got runs, two of them. Was it enough against Toronto? But really, sometimes you gotta keep it simple and direct.
Why didn't you go down?
I wanted to score.
This show is all about strolling down memory lane. No, not about having hair. It's about throwing a whole bunch at you while having an old school good time. So, stay tuned and don't flip out. SportsCenter is next.
Oh, it did my heart good.
That was just so cool.
It was.
Yeah, that.
The old SportsCenter music on there.
Sitting there. Then he busted out the whole Stuart Scott
yes,
stuff.
It was really good.
I mean,
good.
All in the feels. I mean, that was just. That was just great.
Yeah,
takes
Rich
back.
Eisen back on SportsCenter was really, really good stuff the other night. And look, admittedly, you know, we got SportsCenter on in our studio, I guess, all the time.
Pretty much,
but
yeah.
I don't know that I've intently watched SportsCenter in a long time. I did very much enjoy that mm-hmm. the other night.
Well, it is different now in the landscape of how we get our info.
Yeah,
you know, like sure. SportsCenter actually used to be informative.
Oh, yeah.
And not just entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't know necessarily who won. It was much quicker, much easier than waiting for the paper yep. or the updated websites. It wasn't you could get on social and just get them like that
yeah.
back then, you know, for all you youngsters out there.
You youngins.
The yeah. smartphones didn't do that. You know, we used to have to watch the TV and get the news from there and radio breaking news, the old school times where you'd hear breaking news and you'd have to hold and not necessarily just pull out your phone
yeah.
and find it first. So you kind of miss those days here and there.
I do too.
But that was great. You know, that was for us as, you know, I was born in 83. So that was like my prime sports there.
Yeah.
You know, in the 90s and that run that really got me into sports and SportsCenter and all that kind of stuff.
But, oh yeah.
So that was fun to see. And then worst, I want to go easy on him because I heard he was going through some things. But Victor Robles,
yeah,
the poor guy, dealing with an injury and then the death of his mother. Then he gets hit a few times and
throws the bat.
A little in the minors in his rehab assignment and then chucks the bat at the pitcher.
Yeah.
So that whole situation, just in general, not great.
No.
So that'll be my worst.
That was not good the other day. My best thing in sports, we should probably clip this because it'll be
Scotty.
The one and only time. Well, I could do Scotty every week.
You saw his chip, right?
Oh, I saw his chip. It was unbelievable.
I mean, that thing, it was perfectly paced.
Unbelievable.
It landed in the cup. Like, it rolled just the perfect amount.
He's really good. Really, really good. This will probably be the one and only time that I say positive things about something related to the Chicago Bears. So we should probably clip it. Tyson Bagent signed a 2-year, $10 million contract extension with the Bears. He has played very well in the preseason, and he got up there, I think it was yesterday.
I think so.
And had his press conference, and he was just basically fighting back tears the whole time. And he started talking about how, you know, his dad is his right-hand man, and he didn't have running water until he was in high school. His dad didn't. And there's been a lot of things that he's had to kind of deal with throughout his life. So just very appreciative. And he talked about not knowing anybody back home with any sort of money. So a weight off his shoulders now that he signed the 2-year, $10 million contract. So I just thought it was really cool.
For sure.
I thought it was really cool to watch his reaction to that. You know, he plays for the Bears, so that's the only thing I hold against him. But it was really cool to really watch, you know, somebody – kind of talk about their situation and how they, you know, how his father grew up and all those things. And it was just really cool. So I was happy for Tyson Bagent that he landed that deal. My worst thing in sports, I guess I was unaware of this, and I guess most people were as well, but the Kansas City Star came out last night and reported that Andy Reid in May of 2024 was sitting in his office at the facility in Kansas City. And a bullet went through the glass. Said a bullet penetrated the glass in the practice facility of the office of Andy Reid when he was working alone last year. He was unharmed, but according to the report, the shot was fired from outside the Chiefs' facility.
I did not see this.
It went through the glass of Reid's office and lodged into a wall about 15 feet from where he was sitting a little bit after midnight on May the 4th of 2024.
Wow.
In the aftermath of that, Andy Reid has gotten some bulletproof glass installed in his office, so he doesn't have to worry about that again.
Sheesh.
But, you know, apparently a semi-close call from Andy Reid in May of 2024 last year. So, yeah, obviously that's not good.
That's not good. No, I did not hear about that story.
Yeah, crazy.
That is crazy. You wonder where his office is located in the building and,
yeah,
like, is that, like, right next to the road?
Interior
like,
room,
where
yeah.
Like, where are you? Where is this practice facility?
I don't know.
But, yeah, that's not great. I didn't hear about that.
Apparently, he was the only one in the building.
Yeah, I mean, so, hey, he's putting in that midnight oil,
yeah.
But love Andy Reid, so I'm glad that worked out.
Yeah. Cameron on the text line says, nobody has intently watched SportsCenter in a long time. That's why they're doing this. A lot of votes for the best thing in sports being we have actual football this weekend, which
that's
is good
true.
To see.
Yeah, college football starts this weekend.
College football starts this weekend.
Yeah, we got the week zero game in across the pond, right?
Yep.
Over there.
Oh, yes. Joey from Bellevue, the worst, Nashville SC forgot how to play soccer. 3 straight losses.
That so is not, yeah,
that not a great
not
time for that.
Looked good lately. I've been keeping up with it. They're just, that streak that they were on earlier, they're not as cohesive right now.
Yeah.
The attack is lacking just a little bit, and there's just too many lapses defensively.
Not so a great time for it either.
Yeah, I don't know. There are, you know, they're still fine in the standings, but yeah, I don't know. They've looked a little off. They've lost their mojo.
Slick from Adamsville on the text line says, my best thing in sports is Cam Ward's comments about the, quote, altercation with Simmons. That was
pretty funny. I did see that. Yeah.
Hey, Cam.
What'd you
learn from that fight with Jeffrey Simmons? Jeffrey Simmons is strong as bleep. That's what I learned. He's very strong.
Which means he didn't learn anything. It's one of those situations where they're like, what'd you learn? He's like, it's like when you're a kid and you're like, oh, did you actually take anything away from this? No, I don't think so.
I learned that Jeffrey Simmons is very strong.
I'll just say something here so I don't get in trouble.
good stuff. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot of things to get back into with the Titans. We'll take more of your Titans questions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, including some people wondering why a certain position group has not yet been addressed. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025 The Game.